Fantastic. Hey, if you got a Bible, take a look at Exodus chapter 20. I'm looking forward to share with you today. And I found out that as I've just been sharing this message, is that this message is for all of us. But for some of us, it really is for us. And let me go ahead and tell you this. If you don't think this message is for you, more than likely you need to hear it the most. It's an amazing thing. You know, those that talk about rest and say, well, you know, I need rest, right? They're always going to get rest. Is the one who never says anything, I don't know. I take a look at the world in which we live, and it's increasingly more that we need a message like this one. But I'll get to it in just a minute. We've been in this series called Work, and it's been a fantastic series. I've gotten such great responses from understanding some things about what the Scripture says. And it would make sense that the Scriptures would have a lot to say about work because we spend so much time doing it. And like the little video said, work's not a curse. It can be cursed, all right? But it is not a curse in and of itself. Obviously, Adam was and Eve, they were working in the garden before the fall, before the sin came into the world. So again, it's part of God's design. You were created for it. There's great contentment and satisfaction that happens when you accomplish something, when you work hard at something and see it through and finish it. There's a sense of real satisfaction that comes from that. But there's also a sense of incredible frustration when things get in the way, when things stop you, when things slow you down. And again, it's just one of those things to talk about. Because it's one of those things that as a believer, we need to hear what the Scriptures teach on it. And it comes down to the extreme, you know. Rest, we've talked about work over the last few weeks. In fact, we're just kind of just charting down. This is a quick review today. We'll actually finish this series next week about being a light in the workplace. But the past 4 weeks, the very first week, we talked about who do you work for. And again, this is just a recap because I realize there are some of you that this is your first time today. And I don't want you to be lost in what we're going to be doing today. But let me share with you what we've done the last 4 weeks. Very first week was who do you work for? Okay, who do you work for? Colossians chapter 3. It begins with this thought, whatever you do. And again, we've talked about this every week. We'll talk about it again next week because this has kind of been the key verse for this whole series. I want to drive this into our hearts and minds is this, whatever you do. Again, it doesn't matter what you do. It could be a job. It can be work that you get paid for. I tell you, I believe sometimes some of the hardest work is the work you never get paid for. You know, being a parent, doing different volunteer jobs, doing different things. So, again, I'm not just talking about a 9-to-5 job. I'm talking about everything that requires effort, time, those type things. So again, when you think about whatever you do, whether it's volunteer work, whether it's the work of being a parent, whether it's work of being a student, whether it's whatever you look at, there's this great picture. Whatever you do, work heartily. That is, give it your best. Give it all your heart. Why? Because God gave his best for you when he gave us his son. So I have found and have shared over the weeks that I believe that as a believer, if you are a believer today, that as a believer, you ought to be the best worker at your work, wherever it is you work, whatever it is you're doing. Why? Because you're reporting to him. See what it says here? It says, whatever you do, work heartily. Here we go. As for the Lord and not for men. In other words, you got to see who you're working for. And it'll give you the motivation to see it through, to do what we call it. Anyway, this is, again, just review, but that was a huge foundation we talked about a few weeks ago. After that, we talked about work ethics. That's just doing things right, you know, because of who we report to. And obviously, living in a world that's filled with all kinds of things, greed and other things, it's amazing what people will do to have what they want. And God's not called you to live that way. All right, number three was a word for the boss. Number four was a word for the employee. Therefore, we took a couple weeks to talk about who's in charge. talk about what the Scriptures teach about authority and what it means to be in authority. That is, people who report to you. And then we even talked about those that you report to someone else. What does that look like? What does the Scripture say? So we've talked about that in weeks past. And I can't share any more because I want us to get to today, what we need to get done today. But if you want to pick up CD or something like that and listen to these, it's very practical, but also it's pretty powerful. When you take a look at how God sees this. All right, now, today is God's design for rest. And I want you to know that as much as you were made and created to work, you were also made and created to rest. There is a time of rest. The Scripture says a lot about rest. The rest that you find in your soul. But it's not just physical rest. It's a mental rest. It's everything that goes with it. Because I don't know about you, it has a whole lot to do with how you approach things and how life is going. Because I'm here to tell you, you can be getting enough sleep but still not getting rest. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Have any of you in the room ever had 8 hours sleep and woke up just as tired as you were when you went to bed? So we're not talking about just getting sleep. We're talking about rest, and it is a state. It's something that's in here. It's something we all long for. It's something that we all desire. But sometimes it's getting in our culture to find very few people that get rest. Okay? Very few people that get and achieve rest. And yet it's something we all strive for. Oh, it's an amazing thing. That's what we're talking about today. I don't think today will take as long to go through because I just want to just help you with this. I'm here to tell you, a good night's sleep is a blessing. It can be one of the greatest gifts that you ever have. If you truly do rest and you wake up rested. Not just physically. Well, it's an amazing thing. So, I don't know about you, there have been times in my life where I didn't even look forward to sleep. It got to the point to where there was so much in my mind, it was a constant heaviness. I'll share a little bit more about that in a minute and what some of the things that God showed me about this subject. The subject's Scripture has a lot to say about it. When it talks about our culture, especially our culture today, which is fairly unique. Okay? There's a sense in our culture, and I don't know, there's a sickness too, and I kind of grew up with this sickness. There's a sickness that, you know, the worst thing that you could be called in my family growing up was being lazy. That was the lowest slam you could be given. Therefore, we kind of admired those who drove themselves into the ground. And man, if you could ever achieve an ulcer, that was like winning the award. How sick is that? Now, so I'm talking to everybody today, but I'm really talking to a handful of you. I'm really talking to a handful of you. My fellow addicts who think that if we sit down, there's something wrong with that. My fellow people, listen to me today. Scripture talks about finding a rest to your soul. There's something real important about that. There's something that the Scripture teaches. And if you're not finding it, why? Because Jesus made the statement, come unto me, all of you who are weary, right, heavy laden, I'll do what? I'll give you rest. He said, I will, future tense, give you rest. Conditional statement, come to me. What does that look like? We're going to talk about it today. Pretty neat stuff. Pretty good stuff. Pretty exciting things because it is what you long for. It is what you seek. Okay? I know one thing. Even if you're not a believer here today, which I know we have lots of people that kind of come in and you're just checking things out, I'm here to tell you, it is something you seek. Everybody seeks to have rest, to be at rest. But very few ever find it. And sadly to say, very few believers ever find it. Even though that is his promise to you. Because we live in a culture that doesn't see it that way. And let me tell you this, the desire for stuff, okay? The desire for stuff, desire for money, desire for stuff, I want you to understand it will cause people to give everything they have plus more to have it. And it makes your life chaotic, and it makes the relationships in your life distant. And it just, and then you add that to a culture in which we have where everything is on. Guys, I'm here to tell you, listen to me. There's money to be made 24 hours a day now. 24 hours a day there's money to be made. If you want to make it. And so the question comes, how late into the night? But it's a people, my former pastor said lots of years ago, it's kind of stuck with me. It's a little cheesy, but it has stuck with me. He says that people in our culture spend the first half of their life giving their health to gain their wealth. And they spend the second half of their life giving their wealth to get their health back. Pretty good thinking, huh? I'm here to tell you, there's something about it. This thing called rest. But also, as hard as I've shared with you these past few weeks, there's also something about working hard. And they are not exclusive from one another. But I want you to know, I'm a strong believer in working hard, but I'm also a strong believer in taking the rest that's needed. And I learned that kind of the hard way. And I'll share with you a little bit about that in just a minute. Okay, let's jump into what we want to talk about today. Okay, let's jump into what we're going to talk about. And again, just three things. And I just give you some principles, just some things for you to take with you and think with you. And it's gonna get a little quiet. I didn't realize it until last night. It's going to get a little quiet as we think about these things. Because rarely do we ever stop long enough to take a look. You know, it's always the next thing. It's always everything that happens. So let's just take a look. Number one, rest is God's design, okay, for our spiritual lives. I found out that rest comes in all shapes and sizes. And the rest that's in here, to me, is the most important one. That's the one we're starting with. The rest that's in here. Because, I don't know about you, but when your body just needs rest, that's kind of the easiest thing to get rest for. All you need is one good day off. And, you know, I've had it before, you know. Especially when I was in student ministry, you know, and you have all these, you're up all night and you're up all day. And really all you need is one good day. Just give me one good day off and then that way I can sleep till noon, get up, get something to eat, go back to bed at 2 in the clock in the afternoon. And then, if your mind is rested and your body, that's all your body. I mean, again, it's easier to do that. But I'm here to tell you, in here is what you're looking for. In here is what you long for. So when we take a look at this, again, I want you to know that God puts a lot of stock. He puts a lot of stock in this thing called rest. There's a lot on the scriptures on work, but there's also a whole lot on rest. And what that looks like. In fact, God dedicated an entire commandment to the subject. And again, one of the Ten Commandments is this thing called a Sabbath. And we'll talk about it just for a moment and see what it even means. I believe it to be one of the most misused commandments of all of them. But in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it says this: remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Keep it holy. Don't forget that. We'll come back to it in just a minute. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. It says here, 6 days. Six days you shall labor and do all your work. On the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord for your God. And if you shall, on it you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, female servant. It says even your livestock. Okay? It's interesting. Or the sojourner that's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that was in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. And it says here that he made it holy. Sabbath day made holy. I'm going, let's clear a few things up. What is this all about? The Sabbath thought. Number one, God created everything 6 days, right? Rested on the seventh. Question. Was God tired and did he need a break? The answer is no. Okay? No. Then why? It was an example for us. Okay? Because you were created to need rest. You were created to need, not just diversion, but you were created to need rest. And without it, you'll pay the price. Eventually, you'll pay the price. It's a hard thing. So anyway, so we have this picture. And there's there's a real balance to it. Because those that get too much rest, it can be real damaging too. But then those who don't get enough, it's a real balance. And so this is one of the few times the scriptures kind of throw something out to you and say, hey, listen, you need a break. You need some rest. I've learned, especially around here, that I really encourage our folks here that are on staff here to take time. Take the time that's committed to them, that's given to them. You know? This is how sick that I have been in my past. That I would look at people who took all of their vacation as being lazy. How sick is that? Because that's just the way I was brought up. Oh, he never takes any time off. Oh, it's sickness. Now it's just as sick the other way. The person who's always trying to get out of work and who's taking every hour and every time and plus and all that. So yes, there's extremes both ways. But I'm here to tell you, for a healthy mind, a healthy body, a healthy soul, you gotta have rest. You just gotta have it. And God devoted a whole commandment for it. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. But what did we do? I mean, it's so funny. It's so interesting. I don't know about you, but if you didn't grow up in a church or in a church home, I did. This used to be such a big deal. I mean, such a big deal. I mean, you had the Sabbath Gestapo. All right? Some of you may not remember this, and that's fine. But, I mean, they're the ones that were going around enforcing Sabbath, you know. And what was so funny, they said that Sunday was a Sabbath. Sunday's not a Sabbath. Okay? Saturday is the Sabbath. It's the seventh day. First day of the week is Sunday. Therefore, Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week, Sunday. So that's why we have our services on Sunday, just in celebration of Jesus' resurrection. But the Sabbath is on Saturday. Now, this is classic stuff here. This is amazing. And I just remember, you know, the people used to say, you know, they used to get all these rules, just like the Pharisees did. You know, you can't cut your grass on Sunday. You can't go take a walk on Sunday. You can't. Why? Well, it's the Sabbath. Well, number one, it's not Sabbath. Number two, that's not what it means. Okay? That's not what it means. The picture here is rest. And for some of you that are cooped up in an office all week, a good long jog might do you some good. It might be the best Sabbath thing you could do, okay, for you. I mean, again, it has nothing to do with all the rules. It has something to do with rest. This Sabbath day, God didn't need the rest, but he did it because he knew you needed it. And when you don't get it, it really is a tough thing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, it says this: for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That is a rest and sign. Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore, this is an interesting statement, strive to enter his rest, or that rest. So another one will fall in the same sort of disobedience. Strive to enter? You know, how do you strive to enter rest, right? Kind of an interesting thought. But anyway, when you think about just sheer rest in here, the real picture here is that rest and peace seem to be akin. And it's something, contentment, satisfaction, rest, peace, however you take a look at it. And some struggle with it. And it's this picture of ultimately it has to do with your relationship with God and the priority in your relationship with who God is. You were created to have a relationship with God, and there isn't anything that's going to bring that to you that's on this earth. More stuff is only going to cause more problems, going to cause less actual contentment, peace, rest that's in here. So peace and rest seem to go hand in hand. And when you put these together, it actually comes down to, when you take a look at the scriptures, it comes down to the relationship that you have with God that was made possible because of what Christ did at the cross. So therefore, when you can truly understand that Christ died on the cross for sin and that sin is truly forgiven, there is an actual ability to be able to have a relationship with God. And I found that those who are the part of the creation, who have a relationship with their Creator, are at the greatest peace and rest in their lives. Therefore, there's a day here that's set aside for you to be able to focus on your relationship with God. We do this HD service here once a week. And the picture here is that we want to focus on praise, on having some fun a little bit, on getting you together, getting God's people together. There's something that's necessary about all of it. There's something necessary about us all sitting in here and talking about God's Word. And for you being with each other. That's why it scares me a little bit that so many decide just to be apart electronically. Don't have a problem with watching on the internet if you're out of town or if you're sick. But when it becomes a substitute, I think we're missing out on what it means. Also, again, there's a huge need to do this. If not, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of trouble. This is a lot of trouble to go with. I'd rather just shut all this down and I can just stare at the camera. We'll all just stay home. You know? And I'll put on one of those half shirts, right? and my moccasins. And why this effort? Why do we get together? I'm here to tell you, because it's all part of what a Sabbath means. What does it mean? It means rest. It means getting away from work, and refocusing on my relationship with Him, with other people who are doing the same thing. It's part of what it is. See, this is more than just a service. Okay? This is more than just a getting together and, okay, we're going to sing a little bit. Okay, yeah. This is something that He's called us to do because it's something that you need, whether you realize it or not. And hopefully we haven't become so self-centered that it's all judged according to what you need. Who knows? God may have you here today not for what you need, but for the difference you may be able to make in someone else's life. Isn't it interesting? It's become so self-centered. And by the way, the most unrestful people I know are those who are self-absorbed. Because you never get everything you want. And so they are the most chaotic people I know, those who are selfish. They're self-centered. Therefore, one of the greatest ways to be selfless is to focus on your relationship with God, because that's what God calls us to do, to be others-oriented. Isn't that interesting? And the greatest contentment, peace, and rest that you'll find is focusing on others. And the only way you're going to find that is in your relationship with Him. It's an amazing process, and there's just not enough time for me to tell you all about it. But I want to share with you a few other things. But there's this picture then of rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all of you who are weary, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. We just talked about this verse, but once again, rest seems to be a subject that we talk about, and it seems to be one that God wants you to have. It seems to be one, as you look at this verse, okay, take a look at it again. It seems to be something that's a gift, does it not? Come unto me, I will give you rest. Interesting. Number two, all right, rest is God's design for our physical lives. Now, this one just makes sense. Okay, I don't have to spend as much time on this one, but this one just makes sense. Psalm chapter 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Now don't miss verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives his beloved sleep. He gives those that he loves sleep. That is, those who trust him. This is a powerful verse. Powerful to think about. In other words, you can strive in all the different things you want to. And I'm here to tell you, when it gets to you, I have been there. When it gets to you, when the late nights turn into the early mornings, and when the responsibilities mount, and all the things that you're trying to do, and trying to juggle, I'm here to tell you, it's not just physical tired, but it becomes just a mind tired, where you just got to have a break. And I tell you what, my hat goes off to, and my heart goes out to those who are single parents. And you are working just as hard as you can just to stay on board. I think we ought to help them as much as we can. In other words, but I'm here to tell you, even you got to get some time off or you're not going to make it. You got to have a time where you shut down. You can't do it over the long haul. There is a time where it runs out. Now listen to me. This is really important. Let me share that in just a second. But look at this next verse. This is one of my favorite verses about this. This is what Jesus said, right? He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." That is huge. Do you get it? Therefore, God didn't come up with the Sabbath day and give it to you as another rule for you to follow. He came up with rest because you need it. In other words, it's what's best for you. You know, and I remember back at times, of course, at this particular time, the Sabbath day became this set of religious rules of how far you could walk and what you could do, and it became more of a burden than it was helpful. And obviously, that's the whole thought of the concept of what it means just simply to rest, right? Because you know how the lack of rest, when you have a lack of rest, everything around you is distorted. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you what, people that don't get rest are pessimistic. People that don't get rest don't see things clearly. When you run to the edge, you just begin to hate everybody and everything, including yourself. And sometimes, if you're wise enough, you realize, all I've got to do is get some rest here and I'm going to be fine. I have been in times in my life personally when all of you are terrible people. But I have learned over the time that, hey, I just need some rest. And it's amazing how much sweeter you become after I get some time and some rest. And I've become wise enough to know that, but guys, I had to learn it the hard way. I'm more of a driver type, but I have learned to pace myself. I have learned to take time. I've learned those things, and I learned them the hard way in my early 30s. I was driving and working and driving and working and driving and working and driving and working until I started developing horrendous symptoms. And the doctor was so worried, he put me in the hospital. 32 years old. Loss of memory. Okay, tingling, numbness. I mean, what is it, a stroke? Is it some kind of other something? What is it? And I was in the hospital, I don't know, 2 days, 3 days, and they did everything they could do. And finally, he came in and said, "Do you get enough rest?" I said, "What do you mean?" I'll be honest with you, I didn't even think about it. I thought I had some sort of a disease, you know, everybody else, you know, it's just what happens, right? Interesting, isn't it? I tell you what, though. Room 348 taught me a whole lot. Number one, it taught me, Lord, I've got to trust you here. It's your kingdom's not up to me. If it was up to me, you're in trouble anyway. I need to work hard, yes. That's not my problem. Lord, I gotta start doing some things. And Lord, me and the Lord spent a whole lot of time together through that situation. I learned a truckload. That as Vance Havner says, if you know Vance Havner, he's a great guy of yesterday. He says, if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. If you don't get some time off, you're not going to be able to do it. And we don't like to say that because we don't want to give lazy people an out. I understand. But that's sick thinking. That's sick thinking personally. In here. The rest that he wants you to have. Now, I've got to move on, but there's so much more here. But as I normally do, I'm kind of over prepared. All right, let's take a look at number three, and I can't miss this one. I got to explain this one because this one's huge. Number three, rest is also God's design to keep focus, to keep the priorities in your life in focus. I'm here to tell you, look at me. If you're churning, there's nothing wrong with churning. But if you're churning and the motor never stops and it never shuts down, I'm here to tell you, life will go by you so fast that the things that you say are priorities in your life will be neglected for most of your life. Let me just give you, if you're a believer today, now, if you're not, then just listen to the call, you know, and you can think about this in your own life. But if you're a believer today, what are the priorities in your life? Give them to me. No, not out loud now, right? But just give them to me. Here's how it goes for most people. Here's the set spiritual statement, right? God is number one, right? If you're a believer, I mean, if you don't admit it, at least you're honest. But the majority of us would never not admit that God's the most important thing in my life. Okay? Number two is family. And then number three is work or me or whatever else. And, you know, you always hear these, you know, it's all over. The athletes say those type of things. Yeah. All right. Question is it the truth? If God truly is the priority in your life, then is there any time where you focus on Him, your relationship with Him? Interesting, isn't it? I have found that those who are able to keep priorities strong in their lives are those who take time to get still and quiet and let things slow down a little bit. But if you're constantly in the fast lane, let me tell you what, I'm with you, brother. I understand it. Some people drive so slow, it drives me nuts. Right? I've learned so much through the years. I'm giving you a picture, a snapshot of me that was about 20 years ago. But the fast lane is an adrenaline rush, and it can be addictive. But I'm telling you what, priorities can drop in the fast lane. Things that you say are important don't get done. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't ever take any time off, if you don't ever take any time to focus on your relationship with the Lord, you will drop priorities, and you'll come to the end of your life with a whole lot of regret. I can give you a dozen people to talk to if you want to talk to them. Rest is what does that for you. Taking time off to shut it down. It's one of the healthiest things you can do. Let me read to you a couple of verses here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, it's a verse you know, but it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He's already made a promise. He'll take care of everything else, right? He'll put it all together, everything else. So it's relationship. It's relationships with God. And we'll always, okay, I'm here to tell you, there's always going to be more things to get done than you're going to have the time to do. Especially in our culture. All right, look at me. This is practical stuff. There will always be, especially now, there will always be things to get done than you have enough time to get them done. So here's a question for you. You've only got a set amount of time to do them. And who are you going to have to steal from? All right? What time are you going to have to steal from to make sure the things get done that are on the highest priority, right? Does that make sense? All right. Let's say you've got 14 hours to get something done. Okay? But there's enough, when you really add it all up, there's 18 hours worth of stuff to get done. So what happens now? You start prioritizing, okay, what can I get done, because these others will just have to go undone. And I'm here to tell you that the things that we call the priority seem to get, the highest priority in our life seem to get cheated the most. And after a while, those things that get cheated go away. And before you know it, you're out of whack. Everything in life is out of whack, and you're stressed and all of the rest of it. And then usually it takes some sort of a crisis to slow you down. Interesting. And that adds more stress to it in beginning with. You know, I've studied about this because I've taken a look at myself. But when you think about this, I heard this illustration, and this is where it may make you think. Now remember this. I think God makes it. There are times, there are seasons in your life where you're going to have to work. Morning, noon, and night. And you're going to have to work. You know, I think about the way God has developed seasons, right? Winter seems to be a time where you take quite a bit of time off. There's just not as much to do. Not in our culture, but in yesteryear. Spring was a time where you busted it. You had to get everything ready. You had to get it in the ground, right? Summer, you still worked hard, but it wasn't. But then you nailed it in the fall because the harvest and everything. Therefore, there are times when you're going, I'm not talking about it. You're going to work hard. That's fantastic. But here's the great question, right? Here's a great question. When it turns into 12 months a year, you're going to start watching some things fall apart in your life. And you're going to wonder what you did to deserve that. I've seen it happen 1,000 times. Here's the best illustration I can give it. It's like holding a rock, okay? And you look at somebody in your life, whether it's the Lord, whether it's your spouse, you see it really obvious and evident in a spouse, or whether it's one of your children. And what you're saying is you're looking at them and saying, okay, listen to me. I just need you to hold this rock. If you can hold this up and just hold it, I've got to really dedicate myself to getting over the next hump, getting around the next curve. I've got to really, really, if I really want this, and I want what's better for us, and all of this, and I think if I can do this, and we can get to this level, this will mean this, and you know, the kids will be able to go to the school they want to, or whatever. And so, it just keeps compounding. So you hand the rock to somebody. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with handing the rock to somebody and letting them tote it for a little bit. That's called, a lot of times it's called a marriage, called a relationship. You call it whatever you want to. Yeah, I'm carrying the rock. But let me tell you what. When that person starts carrying and holding that rock, when they carry and hold it too long, it starts to get heavy. And then they start asking the question, oh, when you going to be back? And then they start asking the question, hey, you have a kid who asks the question, you know, Dad, I don't ever see you. They're holding the rock for you. Okay, they're holding the rock. Sometimes they may just get downright mad at you. And believe it or not, that's a good sign. If they're still mad at you, they still care. When they stop caring how long or how late you're out or how long you're gone, that's when you're in trouble. That means, are you ready for this? That means they've dropped the rock. And as far as they're concerned, you're a non-issue. They've moved on. They got relationships either with someone else and friends. Children have found other people, role models. Happens all the time. And let me tell you this. Here's the scary part. I wanted to share this with you. Whenever a person drops a rock, it's real, real hard to talk them into picking it up again. I don't know what it is. There's just something, I waited, and then you even ask them, right? Because it's like, okay, you've been holding that rock for 700 hours. What was the 701st hour? What wouldn't have made that any different? It was like, I don't know. But you hear statements like, I'm done. Why? I don't know. I'm just done. I'm done. It's an incredible thing. Listen to me. What are the true priorities in your life? And I'm not saying that the true part is because we need to do this. I mean, if somebody needs me to hold the rock and I'm caring for this person, I'm going to hold the rock for them. I'm like, yeah, hey, yeah, go for it. But I'm here to tell you, when it turns into this is just the lifestyle, then it gets rough. I mean, we never focus. Rest gives you focus. It gives you the time to take a look at the things that are real important in your life. And if you never take the time, I'm promising you right now, the things that you call priorities in your life are getting neglected. I promise you. I promise you. Why? Because we live in a culture where whatever company that employs you, they will take every spare minute you'll give them and demand more. Oh, they'll even give you an award. Yeah. Yeah. $27.50 at the trophy shop. They'll bring you a plaque in. And they'll give you an award. They'll walk you right over a cliff. But I ask you the question today. We're just about done. What are the priorities in your life? I can promise you this. If you're not getting rest, if you're not getting downtime, they're out of whack. It's easy for me to say up here, but boy, people can get real defensive. You just don't understand. You just don't. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, but I do understand. I'm here to tell you this. One of the greatest things that happened to me, my wife can tell better than ever anybody. And we used to take vacations, right? And she would take them. She would want to go to these places that were terrible, where there was nothing to do. And I can get wound up. I'm not this way much anymore. Because I'm telling you what, room 348 will help. If you've ever been in room 348, you know what it's like to be there. You're not near as invincible as you think. And so I've learned. So I've had 20 years to learn this. But I remember in the old days, I did take these vacations where it would make me shut down. If not, if we went to a cool place where there was lots to do, I'd have to conquer it. We got to see it all while we're here. You know, and everybody be dead tired on the way home, you know. Shutting it down. Quiet. The scripture would teach us, be still and know that I'm God. Do you have any stillness in your life? Or is the Facebook always on? Is the television always on? We are a people of distraction. Constant motion. Do you ever get quiet enough and just find a rest to your soul? I'm here to tell you. Once you do find it, you'll fight to keep it. As it says there, strive toward it. It's an amazing thing. As I close, because these are such important things, I can't tell you how important it is. And again, don't hear me wrong. I'm not creating rules here. I'm not saying you have to have one day where you do nothing. I'm not saying that. Why? Because Sabbath day was made for you. What it's saying is you need the rest. There are times. In fact, it's just a good rule. At one day of the week, you just need to focus, shut down, spend with others that need to be spent with, spend time with the Lord, focus on Him, be still, those type of things. I understand that, but if there's times when you're going pretty hard, again, these all variable. There are times when you need just to take some time off, week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. I have found those things to be the most restful. I have found that when I get away and clear my own mind, it's amazing what opens up. I sometimes take study trips and I take them and I go sit out in the middle of a field. It drives me nuts, but I go sit out in the middle of the field and in a little trailer thing and it's amazing that as everything gets quiet and so down, that the mind comes alive. And I begin to think of things that I've never thought about. God begins to show me things that I wouldn't have never have seen if I hadn't slowed down enough to see them. It's interesting how it works. Questions. I don't have things to learn today. I have questions to ask. All right? This is where we'll close. It's just a couple questions. Again, you can just ask yourself. Number one, How's your time with the Lord going? You know, it's like any relationship in your life that you want, that's important to you, that you say is a priority. It has to have time. So if I ask you, how's your relationship with your spouse going? How's your relationship with your children going? How's your relationship with your friends going? The question is not meant to bring, bring shame or anything else. It's just a great question to ask. And I found that when things get crowded out, we begin to lose perspective and priority, and then all other things compound. I'm here to tell you, just taking a time every day, whatever you want to take a look at it, to spend time with the Lord, spend time with that. It's amazing what it does for you. When it says that He grants His beloved sleep, I'm here to tell you, it's one of the great gifts. It's one of the great gifts. Okay? Number two. Could your life be one that's been can be described as restful? I'm not saying that there has to be someone who works hard can't be restful. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because getting rest makes you fresh for what you do. And so I just threw that question in there just because I thought, you may just want to take a look at your life. Can your life be considered restful? It doesn't mean that you're not working 60 hours a week. You may be working 60 hours a week, but you can work 60 hours a week and still be restful. It's interesting how that works. Number three. If you take an honest assessment in your life, if you got anybody in your life that's close to dropping the rock, does that make sense? If you got anybody in your life that's just, in fact, I'm here to tell you, personalities come in all shapes and sizes. You got some people that they'll keep holding the rock with a smile. You walk in the door and they're still smiling. So you think, oh, this thing's, everything's still fine. All right? Just depends on people's personality. Again, I say this because of what you would probably say to me. What are your priorities? If God truly is your priority, then how does that play out in your life? Do you plan for it? The rest he says to set aside is to set aside to focus on Him, right? Guys, I'm here to tell you, we're growing into a culture. I mean, people neglect it. Let's be honest. It's good to see all of you here today. It's awesome to see all of you. But the average person goes to church once a month. That's the one that would consider themselves maybe a little over once a month. That's ones that consider themselves regular attenders. And yet we wonder why, because we're doing other things. And the more and more we neglect this picture, the more chaotic things get in our life. It's amazing how it works. So as we do, the priorities that you have in life, if you truly do say that God is your priority, again, you want to match it up with that. The other thing is relationships in your life. If you say your family is a huge priority in your life, I tell you what, one of the greatest therapeutic things that happened to me when I'm a recovering person with this, right? But I've gotten a lot of things solid now. But back then, I started scheduling every week. Since I had four children, I started scheduling every week. One day a week, you know, an afternoon or a night with my children, and took them out. Lord, I hate Chuck E. Cheese. I'm telling you, man, that's a play straight from the devil himself. Right? But I don't know what about it with me. But in part of my therapy, I'm dramatizing this, right? I mean, but I just so longed to be at peace in here with my relationship with the Lord and with people around me. Now, in a lot of ways, I've gotten there, but it didn't start out that way. And And I don't know that I ever get there totally. But I remember spending time with either Martha or with my kids. There was such amazement when I would spend time with them. And I'd listen to them. And I would hear them. And then spending time with the Lord and spending time with them, they truly were my priorities. And it was amazing that the more time I spent, the more time my brain got back into gear of what it meant to be at rest. It's an amazing thing. Even if you're at Chuck E. Cheese. Even if you're at Chuck E. Cheese. I know that's, boy, I'm ancient. Is that place still around? You that are young parents, is that place still around? Nod your head if it is. Okay, it is. Okay, don't ask me to go. All right, God bless you. Let's all stand. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Tim, wherever you are, come on out and close us. Hey, next week, let me share what I'm going to tell you with you next week. All right? Being a light at the workplace. What does that look like? Okay, because if it truly is the biggest impact of our lives, then it also can be the biggest impact there too. So I look forward to sharing that with you. God bless you guys. Head back to the guest reception. Please come by. Also out in the hall, they'll be signing up for beach baptism, which is next Sunday. Make sure you stop by there too. God bless you guys. Have a great day. All right.